B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Real quick on that Celtics thing, just to sum it up. You guys looked at me like I got two heads, like I'm, well, what did you say before, Maz?
No, you look like you took stupid pills. Yeah, because everything you said regarding the Celtics sounded like it was coming out your ass. That's why, if you ask me, I think you took too many stupid pills this morning. Usually, I mean, you take them every day to begin with.
So here's what makes me a dumbass. That the Celtics, according to Vegas, are the third team in the East. And the two teams ahead of them, one is Philly, who I still don't believe in, and neither do you. Well, you used to, Maz. Have you come off that? I forget, actually. You used to be huge on Philly.
Oh, yeah. They drove me bananas at the end of last year. But I think they're better than the Celtics.
They're two best players. One can't shoot, and the other has no heart.
I don't know. Simmons made a three in the last week.
And they almost beat the eventual champion Raptors last year.
Yeah, is Butler still there? Where'd he go?
Butler left.
Jimmy Butler went to Miami.
Okay, yeah. So gone.
And J.J. Redick's gone, too. I think he went to New Orleans.
So they lose Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
One of the few guys with balls and heart on that team.
Yep.
He's gone.
Yep.
So their best player, i.e., their whatever you call Ben Simmons, point guard, point forward, can't shoot, won't shoot. And the center, their best player, has no heart. That's kind of an idiot.
Sometimes.
All right, and you match up, and they still have a bozo for a coach. I like you against the Sixers. So now you're the second team, and the first team is the Bucks, and I don't really believe in them. They lost their second-best player, and unless Giannis has learned how to shoot, they have the same problems they had last year, too.
Okay, so why do you say they're second-best player?
So why are they not a contender? Because Brogdon's their second-best player.
Middleton's their second-best player.
Vastly overrated.
Not really.
Grossly overrated. If you watch them as much as I did, you would say the same thing. The guy has bad basketball instincts. He's not. Brogdon's a better all-around player.
Middleton can shoot, though.
Yep, he can.
He can score.
Yep, he can spot up and shoot. Sure. Yes, he can. He's not a max player. They overpaid for him, and they lost their second-best player in Brogdon. The better all-around player.
So would you say they're the third-best team in the East?
So according to Vegas, take everything all told, Vegas has the third-best odds in the East. And I think Philly is still flawed, and I think Miami is flawed, and I think they are right. I think those three teams are right in the same mix. And so that makes them a contender. Doesn't make them a championship favorite, but it makes them a contender. That is not talking out my butt.
No, it is completely talking out your butt.
How is that talking out their butt?
Because, again, they're not better than Milwaukee. They are not better than Milwaukee. So to say they're a contender in the East, fine. So is Indiana.
Thank you.
So is Brooklyn.
So, fine.
Whoop-dee-doo. What do you get for that? You're going to hang that one? Is it up to the 17 next to the 17 championship banners?
You have the Celtics or the Nets.
I think that one is probably the Celtics this year.
Okay. Oladipo's not coming back till when? January?
At least,
so you won't get home court out of Indiana. You'll have home court against Indiana, even if Oladipo's back. Who do you like in that series?
If Oladipo's back, I like Indy.
Oh, God. Even with crap-ass Isaiah, why do I keep doing that? Crap-ass Kyrie Irving and a totally dysfunctional team. You swept them last year.
Correct.
Okay, so you think Oladipo's worth four games?
I think Oladipo's pretty good, yeah.
No, I'm not taking the Celtics over Indy. The Celtics are better than the Pacers.
Thank you.
I'm not convinced of that.
Okay, well, but you don't have to be convinced. But if you're making, you know, I just can't say how you can say they're not contending.
But I didn't say they weren't contending.
Thank you. So we agree. What are we arguing about?
Again, I don't know why you keep putting words in my mouth. Contending for the East? Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, well, yeah, that is great.
Okay, congratulations.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, let's hang a banner. Put it up there next to the other ones.
It's like a car salesman tactic. You're trying to make something better than it actually seems. Like they'll
going
be
to the finals? Yeah, that blows.
Yeah, but they're not
who
even
said they're going to the finals?
They're not
if
doing
they're
that.
Contending for the East, they have a chance to go to the finals.
Yeah, they're not
like, what, 2%?
No. If you said they're contending in the East, that means they have a chance to go to the finals.
Contending in the East doesn't mean winning the East.
So you have you give them a 2% chance to go to the finals.
I don't think they're beating Milwaukee.
Because Vegas
I'm not sure they're beating Philly.
Vegas gives them a 25% chance.
How do you figure?
Well, I just sort of, they're 25-1. What does that mean?
No, that's a 4% chance. 25-1 is 1 out of 25.
Well, that's 4%.
Yeah.
Oh. I think Vegas is low. I think Vegas has been overrating Philly for 2-3 years running. Vegas has been high on Philly for a while. Philly doesn't know how to play. And Horford can do a lot for him. Can he do that much? Can he teach Ben Simmons how to shoot?
I don't know. It looks to me like Simmons' shooting's improving.
Is it?
Well, based on what I saw, he knocked down a three from like 3 feet behind the line last week.
Well, you saw some stocky 6'1" kid last night for the Celtics hit a few threes and you got your pants off.
I'm telling you, this kid can play. This Carson Edwards?
Non-factor.
Oh, my six, God. 6'6 wingspan,
love him.
Too.
This oh, guy, I love him.
This Carson
Edwards.
Might be
sneaky better defensively than we think.
Non-factor.
This kid is nuclear, as you would say, nuclear.
The issue on the team, but he
house.
Probably can't defend, and so they're probably not going to play him in key minutes because he can't defend, and so I just,
Carson six, Edwards. 6'6 wingspan, I think he can.
Non-factor. Non-factor. The issue on the team is inside.
I think he could defend Soucy. That's about it.
Exactly right. And Howie Sylvester. So they're talking about Daniel Tice starting at center. Because Enes Kanter can't play defense, and Robert Williams is now hurt again from last night. Like, that's your issue. That's the big issue on
Listen,
the team.
Which is why I'm okay with Edwards. See, again, my expectations for them this year are realistic. They'll be fun. They'll be pretty good. They're not going to win the title. I would compare it to the Isaiah years. There's always the chance.
Why don't we just be happy with them contending?
I am happy with that.
Okay, let's contend.
Who said I was unhappy with
Because you're sort of writing it off. They're not going to win, so fair.
No. I'm happy about them. I'm excited to watch, competitive basketball night in, night out. That's my expectations for this team. They'll give you a good product on a random Wednesday night in January. But that's it.
Yeah, I'm just setting my expectations at a realistic level.
I want to run. I want them to contend. I want them to go deep into the spring.
Well, good luck with that.
So the variable I will give you is Tatum, Brown, that particular group, really Tatum more than Brown, but I'll give you both of them.
They get better because...
If one of them takes that next step, then you might be in business. Then we'll see. And when I say in business, you might take Milwaukee to six.
Luke in Vermont, are the Celtics contenders this year?
Yeah, of course they are, Maz. Do you remember a Rozier-led Celtics beat Milwaukee? They didn't even have Marcus Smart in that series. Tatum and Brown were the centerpieces.
That was 2 years ago.
I give you that. Yeah, so Milwaukee's worse than they were then.
No, they're not.
Saying that there's no way we could beat them. How are they not worse?
Giannis is way better than he was 2 years ago.
But he's not better than...
He's the same guy.
No, he's not.
He just won the MVP.
Nas, he was good enough to win the MVP that year. He's always going to be awesome during the regular season. They'll win 55 games again this year. But in the playoffs, Giannis can be stopped. They showed it that year. Yeah, last year he ran all over the dysfunctional Celtics, who were terrible.
They were terrible. Luke, I love you. As you know, you're a fabulous caller to the program. I think you took your stupid pills with Felger this morning.
Attaboy,
that's what
Luke.
I think.
Attaboy, thanks for the support.
Who guards Giannis in a 7-game series? Who in the Celtics guards Giannis in a 7-game series?
Oh, yeah, that works so well.
Build a wall.
Yeah, that worked for one game, and then they get swept.
It's good. We're using the Trump approach in the Celtics defense.
I know how to stop the Greek freak.
We're going to keep them out.
Yeah. What, the French tickler is going to suddenly emerge?
I'm going to get the Sixers to pay for it.
I know how to use that, too.
Or foul him, send him to the line. I mean, a big thing with Giannis was exposed last year.
Yeah, he went from 79% free throws in the regular season to 64% in the playoffs.
And then he got afraid to drive to the rim because he was afraid to go to the hoop. Sort of like Ben Simmons, the two teams ahead of you. Those are seriously flawed teams, I'm telling you.
Simmons has improved.
I'm telling you, you should have gone to the finals 2 years ago before Kyrie came in and took a steaming dump on the thing last year. And now LeBron's not here. It's back to being wide open, and you're going to contend for the East, which means you contend for the finals. And that's the way it's going to be. We'll see how long it takes you to come around and actually realize
I just love how you use the transitive property, and you go from contending in the East to being in the finals.
Murray, do me a favor. Google transitive property. He went to Tufts. I went to BU. We didn't study that at BU.
Everybody's going to contend in the
East. What does that mean, transitive property?
Philly's going to contend in the East.
What does that mean? Call Gasper. Ask him what that is in French.
Oh, what the hell is this? We learn transitive property of equality tells us that if we have two things that are equal to each other, and the second thing is equal to the third thing, and the first thing is also equal to the third thing, the formula... I hate formulas.
You actually looked that up.
Yeah. Formula of this property is if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C.
Here's
F off with this.
You know what the transitive property is?
They're going to contend.
The Patriots beat the Bills, and the Bills beat the Texans, so the Patriots beat the Texans.
Got it.
That's what it is, except it doesn't work.
The Celtics are going to legitimately contend this year. To go to the finals, and we'll see when you come along, you come around, because it will. There'll come a time here in November, December, where you're going to say, Felger was right again. As usual, when he said it, we all thought he was taking stupid pills, but now that it actually plays out, actually he was ahead of it again.
It's a tainted take.
Damn, and he's going to piss you off, but you're going to have to come around.
No, I think it's going to be more like we said Felger was taking stupid pills, and we were right. He was taking stupid pills, because everything he said sounded like it was coming out of his bony ass.
Meanwhile, Martellus Bennett, Michael Bennett, whatever, the Bennett guy, would you trade him? You dump him for nothing, or are you going to give Bennett another chance? And I'm sort of in the another chance category because I don't think you're getting squat for him.
Your hairy, bony ass.
I don't think you're getting anything from Michael Bennett and Belichick as a GM. Your thoughts on that? I promise, two calls after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
If he's ready, you're hoping he'll be able to practice. Is that readiness, is it a physical readiness that you're looking for, or is it more of a mental side?
No. I mean, mentally, he's been able to keep up with everything. It's, you know, just physically, if he's, you know, needs to be able to show that he can go out there and participate competitively and at the practice level that we're at. Hopefully that's where it'll be, but we'll make our final evaluations on that before we put them out there.
Belichick on N'Keal Harry. A lot riding on him. A lot riding on Isaiah Wynn. That's for sure. Back to your phones, as promised. One open line if you want to grab it at 617-779-0985. Warren in New Hampshire on Belichick the GM. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Felgie, hallelujah. You hit the nail on the head just a few minutes ago when you were talking about this. Belichick's a phenomenal man, great general manager, but he has to, as all managers, he has to delegate. Look at the special teams. Slater, fantastic. Look at the defense. As I know, it's Hightower. Fantastic.
Warren.
Yes, sir?
So what's your overall point?
My overall point is, our problem is the offense. Okay? And I don't think you're kissing Belichick's butts. Who's ramrodding the offense?
Hold on. I'm just going to have to let you go. I don't understand about ramrodding the offense.
No, I don't know what that means.
No. The offense is to be determined. It might be put back on Bill. I want to see how it plays out.
Sure.
You know, and if right now, I would say that they're undergunned personnel-wise. But let me see. Let me see how it plays out. I'm also reserving some blame for Brady for not incorporating some guys. I mean, if they hit on Jacoby Myers, but Brady was slow bringing them along, that's partly on Brady. So let's see on that. But the thing that I think we all overlook as we get on Bill for some of these recent moves, the Antonio Brown thing, big mistake, blew up in his face. Michael Bennett looks like it's tending in the wrong direction. And what makes those bad is that it's big money attached to it too, so it's preventing you from doing other things. So that's gotten a lot of attention. But what we lose in all that is that this is arguably the best defense in the league, 1, 2, or 3. And it's all built by Bill in the last couple of years. All these decisions have been made in the last couple of years. Either bringing guys in, Stephon Gilmore, Lawrence Guy, or re-signing guys to big money contracts that we were sort of leery of at the time, Dante Hightower. That Dante Hightower contract, immediately we looked at it and went, ooh, because Dante Hightower had no real market across the league. He was flunking physicals on other teams. I think he flunked either, was it the Steelers or the
Pittsburgh.
Jets? Yeah, this Pittsburgh physical. You give him big money. The first year back, he sort of gets banged up again. You're looking at that going, ooh, that's going to kill you. Turns out, like 3 years later, looks tremendous, looks as good as he's ever looked.
I mean, he looks better this year than he's looked in like 4 years.
Gilmore, McCourty, starting outside corners, J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, you name it. These are all draft picks, undrafted guys, signed guys, re-signed guys in the last couple of years. That's all on Bill, the GM.
Yeah, and I think there's also been a huge benefit to the continuity in keeping them together because they play extremely well together. They all know where they're supposed to be. They all make the same reads at the same time. They very rarely make mistakes. And so even the two touchdowns they've allowed this year, one was a tackling issue.
Right. They were there.
And the other one, Jonathan Jones was there. I mean, again, he was right on the guy and he even got a hand in there and Golden Tate caught it. I don't have a lot of issues with what they've done on the defensive side of the ball.
How could you?
Exactly. But I would tell you on the other side, boy, he's taken some gambles on offense. and it hasn't panned out. And so the wide receiving core, the pass catching core, has been badly mismanaged in the last couple of years. The only spot where they get any sort of consistency is out of the backfield. That's James White. Everything else is a little bit of a crapshoot. Obviously, Edelman sort of stands to the side on his own. And now the offensive line's an issue. So I understand Brady's frustration there, and I think Bill has thrown a lot of crap against the wall with the offense the last 2 years that hasn't stuck.
Winning, Harry, huge. Huge, guys. Murray, what's your grade for Belichick the last 3 years as a GM?
That'd be a D, Mike. A hard D.
Have you moved off that at all?
Nope, I will not be moving off of that because the drafts have sucked, and he has completely botched the wide receiver position year after year over the last 3 to 4 years.
It is amazing that they could get so little out of their drafts and still be so much better than everybody else. The real story is that they strike out at the draft as much as they have the last couple of years, and not only does it not close the gap with them in the field, the gap between them and the AFC anyway has gotten bigger.
Wider.
So that's the story.
Right. Like, ultimately, it's moot. They just keep winning in spite of it. But, you know, the wide receiver thing, some of these trades, willy-nilly throwing around third-round draft picks for crap like Coney Ealy, and then third-round draft picks that you don't even use like Damian Harris this year. D. Hard D.
Here we go with Brandon in Boston. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. And a great show because you guys always take my phone call, and the show's always great. But I want to know you guys' thoughts on this. I'm a Rams fan, of course. But I think they made a stupid move because why would you trade Marcus Peters for 2 draft round picks? Those draft round picks, the 2 that they just sent out, should have went to Von Miller. They should have went to Denver, seeing if they can get Von Miller, because if they got Von Miller, I think their defense would be at elite.
Would you rather give up 2 first-round picks for Von Miller or Jalen Ramsey?
Jalen Ramsey.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Younger.
And also, they get a glaring need at corner now. Aqib Talib is on IR. Peters is as good. Again, let's not forget, this is Peters' 3rd team now. Okay? So this is the 2 teams have had him and said, this guy's not as good as everyone says he is. He takes a lot of gambles. He allows a lot of big plays and makes mistakes. So I'm not telling you Peters completely sucks, but you know what? I think at the end of the day, he's pretty average.
Yeah, I really liked him a few years ago. I think he's gone down. The PFF nerds actually have him rated as the 7th best cornerback this year. I'm not buying it. You just mentioned big plays. How many times have you already seen? He's given up bombs to DK Metcalf, Mike Evans in the Tampa blowout game like that where they put up 50, almost 60 points on him. Like, I don't know. He's all right. I don't think that he was the player he was a few years ago.
I mean, he takes chances. He does. He gambles, and he hurts the team when he misses. And I just don't think he's, as a pure cover guy, he's like Ramsey or even Gilmore. You know, and I say even Gilmore. Gilmore might be the best one in the league.
I don't think there's a corner out there who's worth 2 first-round picks right now, including your guy, who's good. He's probably the best. I think, you know, that era of – there was a time when Revis, maybe. A time when Champ Bailey, maybe. Like those guys at their very Hall of Fame peak, I'd say maybe 2 first-round picks. Maybe. But then again, even probably not. Jalen Ramsey does not rise to the level of 2 first-round picks. I think that's insane.
So again, I separate the two. I say the price is absurd. The price is absurd. There's no 2 ways around that. I mean, but if I'm a Rams fan, I'm looking at it going, wait a minute, you just sunk all this money into the quarterback. You sunk money into Aaron Donald. You gave up a 1st-round pick and then signed Brandon Cooks. Okay, Gurley still has money, I think. And Aqib Talib and Peters, even if he stayed, they're both going to be free agents at the end of the year. How are you going to keep everybody? So Talib's out. That's done. That's over. He's gone. You need a corner. Ramsey, they overpaid totally.
Okay.
But they got a guy who can play.
Pay attention to this landline. It's what it should sound like for everybody. Dakota in Braintree, go.
Hey, before I get to the what I called about the Patriots wide receivers, Philadelphia 76ers, couldn't agree with you more, Mike. Biggest fraud. After their starters, that team has completely no bench. Like zero. No guy that would crack any other lineups. That's how bad they are. And don't forget, Embiid is always hurt, and Al Horford has been getting hurt recently and is under load management.
Yep.
They might be the somewhere between the 3 and 5 seed, and it's only because they have Simmons Simmons and Embiid and Horford when they're healthy. Other than that, I mean, please, that's a big fraud team. So as for the Patriots, if, and this is a big if, and Michael, you're going to love this guy. Uh-uh. The guy that they signed to the practice squad, Devin Ross, the diminutive 5'9", quick-footed guy out of Colorado. And the beauty of this guy, if he gets the playbook and understands this offense, he is the perfect fit because he can play the slot and he can play the receiver.
You think Brady's going to look at this guy?
Yeah, you know why? Because this guy goes to the ground and makes catches, and Brady likes throwing the ball where it's safe to the ground.
Okay, well, at 5'9", he's already there. He doesn't have to go to the ground. He's already there.
Oh, yeah, no. He's way down there.
5'9", rookie practice squad guy? You think Brady won't blow a fart in his direction. Never mind throw him a pass.
Such a classic Dakota call, isn't
it?
Like, you know, you're focusing on the big problems, and he throws a little 5'9 smurf at you who's, like, on the practice squad, came out of nowhere, and is going to be the savior to the Patriots offense. Who are the other asshats he's thrown at me over the years? Who was that basketball player he said that the Celtics should have drafted? Jonathan Isaac? Was it him, Jimmy? Florida State?
Yeah, he went to Orlando.
How could you possibly remember
this? He sucks.
He blows.
But it wasn't from Dakota. The
guy's awful.
The same type of thing we heard about Braxton Berrios, who's now a New York Jet. Like, take with a grain of salt what you watch in college football. We get it. You watch it. You bet on it. Like, come on.
Yeah, Brady hates young players. So this guy has no chance.
Brady's going to see this kid at 5'9", and ask him to carry his helmet into the locker room and get him a cup of coffee while he's in there.
Here's Murray's update. We'll wrap it up with your wonderful phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
That's an app.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Wrap it up with your wonderful phone calls. Celtics, Patriots, Bennett, Belichick, the GM, all those things. Cam and Taunton on the seas. Thanks for hanging on, Cam. What do you got?
No problem. I can remember, you're talking to a guy who thinks that Steph Curry is not number one on a championship team, even though it's been done. So when you're talking to the NBA.
That's
so,
Maz. Yeah, Maz.
On the Celtics, on the court, I see the same problems they had last year. You have a ball-dominant point guard and too many wings. And Stevens couldn't figure that out last year. That's what worries me most on the court. I think they'll be the 2 or the 3 seed in the East. I think they can get to the finals, but there are 6 teams in the West better than them. So, I mean, that's the realistic expectation.
All right. Can we handicap the finals when we get to June?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. So what are we so worried about that, you know, they're not going to beat any team in the West?
Who's worried?
Yeah, I'm not worried.
But, I mean, I don't know why dismiss the whole season because there's teams better in the West and they're going to lose the finals.
I'm not.
It's the NBA.
I'm looking forward to the season. I think it's going to be fun.
Me too.
Okay. I'm less worried about fun than I am an actual run.
I think they're going to be fun to watch, man. I think they're going to put up 125 points a night. They might give up 120, but that's what they're going to score.
They're going to be better than you give them credit for right now. But you will come around sooner than later. Both of you will.
Kind of like how you came around on the Red Sox. Like, what was it, September 1st? There's still a chance.
On paper, they're great. Yeah.
That's why I can't take this seriously.
There was still a chance.
Yeah. Come on. These Charmin takes, full of crap.
It's just realistic. It's just.
By the way, Mike, the Celtics can be both interesting, have a run, and be fun.
There you go.
All those things can happen.
Well, no, I mean, but if I have a choice between fun and not contending, I want contending and boring. I don't care about the fun thing. I want them to win and go deep into the spring, and I think they have a real good chance to.
As far as I'm concerned, they should play D'Antoni ball this year. That should be up-tempo, fire away.
It's not going to be that bad.
Snipe.
And you know it's not going to be that bad. Marcus Smart is still there. If Jaylen Brown has his head screwed on, and big if there, he's, you know, obviously playing for a contract and wants his money. So is he going to just, you know, go all out for the offense and the numbers? So, I mean, that's a concern. And I worry about both Tatum and Brown, about where their heads are at. And,
no question.
You know, that whole thing. I mean, but if they decide to engage on defense, Brown should be a really good defensive player.
Yeah, Brown is probably the most complete of the two. Tatum should be a better defensive player than he is. And I will allow for the possibility that one of those guys takes a massive jump, and then all of a sudden the whole thing looks different. I acknowledge that. I just think as they're constituted right now, they got a ways to go.
And I think the East is suck. I think it's as sucky as it's been.
The East is bad.
There's just no LeBron. So it's sucky and no LeBron as opposed to sucky and LeBron.
But there's Giannis.
But there's Giannis. He ain't LeBron. He ain't LeBron.
Well, nobody's LeBron. He's still the best player in the conference.
Here's Lakar in Boston on Jaylen Brown. Go ahead, Lakar.
Hey, how you doing? To tell you the truth, I really don't think the Celtics are going to keep Jaylen Brown, because the simple fact is, if he does not accept this contract, what's going to happen with him and Jason Tatum? They're not going to let him go for nothing. They're going to want to get something out of him.
So you're saying they're not going to max out both guys?
I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, think they're going to try to get something for Jaylen Brown.
It's fair. I mean, how willing is Wick to go deep into that luxury tax and pay a lot of money?
Well, it depends on this year. If I'm the Celtics, I wouldn't give Brown that contract right now. Let me see it. And the other thing is, he's a restricted free agent next summer. He's not unrestricted.
But again, Ben Simmons, who can't shoot the basketball, just maxed out in the same spot that Brown's in this year.
Yes.
Would you rather have Ben Simmons or Jaylen Brown?
Ooh, that's close.
I don't think it's close.
I do.
What? Ben Simmons is so freaking overrated, it's not even funny.
Simmons is a huge mismatch, though, if he can figure out the shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounded bad.
Boy, he'd be a great basketball player if he learned how to dribble.
Oh, he can dribble.
I'm joking. I'm saying, how can you call yourself a great basketball player when you can't shoot?
A lot of guys can't shoot when they come into the
league. No, but he can't shoot. Can't shoot. It's not like he
Brown
needs...
has a suck handle and sucks at the free throw line, so... Yeah, but I'm going with Simmons. At least there's star power there. You might get a Kylie Jenner or some sort of thing going on there, too. Go with him.
Ben Simmons is grotesquely overrated.
The Celtics are doing the right thing with Brown. Wait it out a little, see what it looks like. If he has a great year, you give him his money.
I'm just saying Ben Simmons' contract is going to ruin it for a lot of teams.
Sure.
Because if I'm Jaylen Brown, again, he was offered 4 at $80 million. So $20 million a year. And Ben Simmons is getting 33, 34. And if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm saying, why would I sign for 20 a year when a guy who can't shoot just signed for 33? I ain't signing that. So you're porked. You're going to have to max those guys out if they're going to stick around for Ben Simmons money. And I don't know if, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, all three going to max out three wing guys like that? And you still, and never mind Kemba Walker? Is Wick going to pay that much money?
No. I think Hayward's going to be the odd man out, though.
Something will give eventually. It's true. Tom and Quincy, how do you view Belichick, the GM?
Hey, what's up, guys? Actually, Mike, honestly, in the past few years, the best move that I like, because I like when he does the trades as opposed to the draft. Sometimes he's missed on some big ones. But that Van Noy trade, to
Killer.
Me,
great.
That's the best one he's pulled off in a few years. Do you know that they only gave up a 6th-round pick for him?
No, well, they gave up a 6th and got a 7th back, so they didn't even just give it up.
Back.
Right.
Right, right. But, I mean, and then they signed him, and they gave him decent money. I think it was almost $12 million or whatever, with like 5.5 guaranteed or something like that. But they still got him through 2020. He has been nails since he's got here. And I remember he was kind of pissed that Detroit traded him for a 6th-round pick. He thought he was better than that. Because I think he was like a 2nd-round draft pick.
Yeah, well, if we're being honest, Van Noy's pissed at everybody, if we're being honest.
Well, always.
True. That's true, too. But he's got better every year. And he's been amazing this season. So if all of the moves that Belichick's made so far in the past few years as far as trades and stuff like that, I got to give that one. That was an absolute home run.
So let me tell you, the Van Noy thing speaks for itself. It was a great move. But I put that in a lesser category because that was a flyer. Essentially, when you're trading a 6th-round pick and getting a player and a 7th back, that's one step removed from a waiver wire pickup.
Right, that's really, we'll take him off your hands.
So that's really just sort of, we'll see what happens here, and you throw like 30 of those against the wall and hope one sticks, and the Van Noy move stuck. To me, the Gilmore signing, the Hightower re-signing, those are the bigger, riskier ones, because if you miss... Then you're really hurt trying to sign other guys and payroll and that whole thing. You have to hit on those big money ones. If they had missed on Van Noy, it's no harm, no foul. There's nothing off their nothing. No skin off their nose. If they missed on Gilmore, Oh, that would have been tough.
Oh, yeah. No, no. To me, Gilmore was the big one. I give Bill big points on Gilmore. I mean, looking back now, just quickly, Van Noy is a free agent at the end of the year. Okay, so Tom said that he's signed through 2020.
No, no. Okay, he's not signed through 2020, but I think they did give him an extension after he got here.
Yeah, no, no. He got more money, but he's up at the end of this year. So that aside, though, the Gilmore move.
What do you do on Gilmore, on Van Noy, by the way? Do you go deep on him, or is he someone like Trey Flowers where you let him go?
How old is he?
So I got to look.
I say pay him.
I mean, I look. If you're asking me of those three, depending on what the deals are.
Those three being?
The three linebackers.
Hightower, Van Noy, Collins.
Collins is gone.
Yeah, aren't they all up? I mean, you can't let them all go.
Is Hightower up too?
Maybe I'm wrong on Hightower.
Collins is definitely on the one-year deal.
And Van Noy's up.
Okay, so those two.
I would rather keep Van Noy. I just think Collins is a little unpredictable.
Yes, for sure.
And so Van Noy, to me, feels more consistent. I think Collins probably has a higher upside.
Well, you know, I told you that I sent you, this is going back, when I just texted you guys a couple of weeks ago. Someone overheard him at a social event, Jamie Collins, basically telling people, like, this is it. I'm here 1 year. That's it. He's looking to get paid somewhere else, and he's going to be here.
Yeah, he's using it to get his next contract, yeah. Which is fine.
And I'm okay with that.
You bet.
I mean, it's, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
But back to this whole GM conversation. Belichick, that Collins move has been huge.
Tremendous.
The Van Noy trade and then re-signing him has been huge.
Tremendous. Gilmore, too.
And of course, Gilmore, but just the linebackers, bringing back Hightower on that contract, which we all thought was too much at the time, has been a home run.
And Mike, Hightower's up 2021.
2021. Okay. So, but again, the numbers are going to continue to stay at a high level here. The cap hits have to go up. They're going to have to make a decision on him somewhere along the line.
Van Noy's only 28. I would give him an extension.
I mean, I lean towards keeping Van Noy. He feels steady to me.
Tom and Revere. Hi, Tom.
Mike, there's no doubt that Bill's a tremendous GM. But I think he made a huge mistake this year in not understanding his tight end position. I mean, if you look at the offensive line and the ability to pass block and run block. The fact that you've lost Gronk, Dwayne Allen, who I wasn't a big fan of when he was here, but having him go now makes a big difference. And now James Devlin being hurt. I mean, their entire offense, and Brady loves passing in the middle, right? We all know that. And so not having a stretch the middle of the field sort of tight end down the seam.
So Tom,
weapon has really killed him.
Okay, good point. I agree. If you want to second guess Bill, I see the receiver thing. He swung and missed Murray, but at least he swung. Okay.
Yeah, and how many is? It's way too many. At least get one of these
okay,
right.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, it's not like he neglected. It's not like he willfully neglected it. He addressed it and he just missed, which is different than the tight end position, which he has grotesquely ignored. You know they've drafted one tight end in the last 4 years? And it's Ryan freaking Izzo in the fourth round a couple of years ago. I'm just going back. They drafted no tight ends this year. They drafted Izzo in the seventh round in 18. They drafted no tight ends in 2017. They drafted no tight ends in 2016. They drafted one tight end in 2015, A.J. Derby, who actually plays, yeah. Is in the league. Is he still with Denver?
I believe so, yeah.
But anyway, this, despite your starting tight end being injury-prone and hinting at retirement now for the last 2-3 years.
Mike, they tried to trade him 2 years ago.
That is neglectful. So yeah. There's two spots I think that he neglected. One is tight end, and that is an excellent second guess. The receiver, he tried. He just missed. Tight end, he hasn't even tried.
Well, what if Watson ends up okay?
38-year-old guy, stopgap. That is not addressing a spot with an established player who is hurt and on the way out the door. He did not do enough on tight end. Sorry. And the second one's kicker. The second one is kicker. Your kicker has gotten older, missed bigger kicks, and is still highly paid. And you had no backup plan to the point where he gets hurt or just, you know, finally you have enough of him. The month into the year, and you're throwing everything against the wall because you have no succession plan.
Oh, yeah. No. It's like American Idol for kickers.
And it's not like
pulling guys out of cabs.
I'm not expecting you to have like three deep at kicker if you've got a kicker in his prime in his late 20s and you're fine there. And then while that happens, that happens. But when you've got a kicker in his mid-30s who year after year after year is missing big kicks at the end of the season, and you don't ever bring anyone in to work out or build up a list or build up a backup plan, And now you're stuck with Mike effing Nugent.
And had a pre-existing hip injury.
So that is so those two, like, so don't you treat Murray differently, tight end and kicker, than you would, say, receiver, where he just drafted a guy in the first round. He's trying.
Yeah, and he's already like an injury liability and can't get on the field. Like everything that he's even tried at wide receiver, even Malcolm Mitchell, who helped in that Super Bowl run against the Falcons at the end, he was an injury risk, and he only ended up playing a very little bit because the knee was screwed up. Like, I don't know, do better homework on some of these guys.
There's a difference between swinging and missing and not even taking a swing.
Yeah, that's if you go point. Back to the beginning of last season, though, he let the too many guys go on the receiving corps at one time to the point where all of a sudden they had to bring in Josh Gordon to fix the problem. Like, that is just that's a huge gamble. There's very little chance that guy's going to stay on the field.
And bringing in washed-up crap like Jordan Matthews and Eric Decker, like, please.
Either way, that's going to do that. Coming up next is the final word. Coming up at 6 is the Felger and Maz off-air show. Myself and Ty Anderson are going to be on Facebook Live. 6 o'clock, he'll swear like a drunken sailor. You have any sort of pent-up Bruins thing, he'll get you covered on that. Did Bruce Cassidy say something today about splitting the goaltenders in the playoffs?
He did.
Did he really say something like this? Where Cassidy said we may consider splitting the goaltending in the playoffs? Did he really say that?
Yeah.
So we're going to discuss that.
Well, who's he trying to goose?
I don't know. Of the Boohoo Tuca crew.
The dehydrated Tuca Rask.
Well, the little baby Tuca writers, Ty Anderson included.
Seriously, though, like, why would he say that now? Their goaltending's been good.
Why would he say it? It's October 15th?
Right. And it's little... not like the goaltenders have been bad.
Well, maybe we'll pick that up tomorrow on the show, but we'll definitely do it on the off-air show. A bunch of other off-grid stuff as well. Facebook Live, 6 p.m., but the final word is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? Only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, let's revisit it in a little bit more of a condensed form. If you missed it earlier today on Felger and Maz, here is the, are the Celtics a contender debate?
They're going to be what they are. He'll make them more entertaining.
Yeah, that's what I think all people are looking for. And I rightfully mean, so. If you have a more fun experience Carson Edwards, then
so
that's...
You've all like given up on the year? You don't even think it's going to be a competitive year?
No, they'll be competitive. No, they're winning competitive. A title.
They're going to win the championship.
They contend?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Contend.
For a title?
Again, you're talking about a difference maker.
Contend means contend.
No.
Could they contend for the Eastern Conference Championship? Sure.
Which means they contend for the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think the East is wide open.
You think they can beat Milwaukee?
Yeah.
You're on crack.
Yeah, you're crazy.
You're on crack.
Milwaukee got worse.
So did the Celtics.
I don't know that they got worse.
They did get worse.
How'd they get worse?
They lost Kyrie and Horford.
The second one is my issue. The second one, that's my issue.
How did they get better?
Well, because Dingleberry's out of here.
Oh, they got worse.
Because Kyrie's out of here and you get individual improvements from the guys that are still here.
Yeah.
They were better before Kyrie. I hate to break it to you. I think they're a contender. Would I make him a championship favorite? Of course not. But contender. Well, contender. If you contend for the East Finals and you can win the East Finals, that means you're in the NBA Finals. I think they're that kind of team.
Do you
want to handicap the NBA Finals today?
So wait a minute. Just because you can contend to get to the East Finals means you can win it?
It means you can contend.
You don't really believe this. I'll tell you again. Of course I believe it.
Mike, they're a middler. They're going to be a middler for the foreseeable future, but at least they'll be more entertaining than last year.
Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe they're a middler. I think they're a top three seed in the East. I still think they have a chance to contend and make it real interesting. All right? So I'm not giving up on them contending, by the way. At all. At all.
For the championship?
Yeah. Contending is not winning. So you understand that, right?
They're not going to contend for the championship, Mike.
They
might contend for the East, but they'll lose it.
Did the Warriors last year, when Durant got hurt, contend for a championship?
Yeah.
Okay. And they lost in five or whatever it was?
Well, after they lost Durant and Klay Thompson.
This is what I'm talking about. But they were contending. They were there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't think that's on the table for the Celtics?
So you think they're the Warriors?
I think it's possible they could make the finals and maybe get their doors blown off. But you don't think there's value in making the NBA finals?
I'll make a bet on this with you. I bet that the Celtics don't go to the finals.
I think they're the second team in the East. And I don't even know. And I'm not
second
even.
Second team in the East doesn't go to the finals.
They're in the Eastern Conference finals.
Maybe. They could get eliminated in the second round. Like they did last year.
I think it's silly how you've written off the team.
Wait a minute. I haven't written off the team.
The East is wide open. The Bucks lost their second best player.
Now you're putting words in my mouth. I just said they're not going to win the championship. That's all. I didn't tell you I wasn't going to be interested in the season. I'm totally interested in the season.
That sounds it.
Where's the money line?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why he cut it off.
It's the second clip because it was in regard to draft grading.
Oh.
Oh.
That was where it originally came up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What was the money line, please?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, here, it's 53 seconds long.
Yeah, go ahead, play it.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Top of your head. Don't need a long explanation. Belichick, the last 3 years. So starting with the 2017 offseason, last 2.5 years, last three offseasons, last three team building periods. Give me a grade for Bill Belichick as a general manager, not a coach.
D.
C.
D for Murray.
Yeah, I think I'm being kind.
C for Maz.
Yep.
I went and looked at it today. The whole thing, front to end. You know what my grade is?
F.
A.
Boo.
A. A.
What are you talking about?
Let's go through it.
Let's go it. Let's do it.
Let's A. do it. Let's do it.
Did you take your stupid pills this morning?
Someone wants back on the boat.
Seriously, I feel like everything you've said today might as well be coming out your ass. I'm just giving you my honest opinion, believe me.
There it was.
And you know what, Murray? The Red Sox were still in it. The Red Sox were talented enough to still be in it. They were. Yeah. I don't take that back.
On paper.
It's not my fault that they play with their heads up their ass. I'm just telling you, they should have been in it.
May 1st, the season was over.
Jones, over under Celtics wins this year, 49.5. Over under. Over under.
Celtics are going to the finals.
Over under. Over
Bill.
Under.
What the hell show was I listening to today?
Over under.
Under.
You're just doing that.
Under.
Under.
Yeah. Under.
Okay. Sure.
I think they're probably in the mix for the number three team in the East.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yay, bronze.
Yeah. So you got Philly over.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.